Blog Talk Radio.
Again, you've reached the Kay Thompson Live Show, which is now Kay's Son and Friends. I'm the son, Citizen Payne. My mom, Kay Thompson, is up there at the top of the heavens doing her thing, doing the shows, I'm sure, with my sister. And we are down here. We're down here on planet Earth. This is Kay's Son and Friends, my friends, our friends. Lifelong friends, Mr. Wayne Gilman, a legendary newsman, and Brother Byron Saunders, the fantastic historian. I'm trying to come up with a funky little nickname for you there, Byron. But the stuff has hit the fan. It's getting ready to hit the fan, ladies and gentlemen. This is today is the 1st of April. And I guess what the milestone is that I put on a little description of the show is that we have Despicable 45, giving people a warning yesterday, talking about it's going to be a very painful 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks are going to be very painful. And some of my Facebook friends will tell you, I'm Citizen Payne, as I just told you, if I didn't say what my name was, Eric Citizen Payne, but I've been putting a little tracking of when he said it was a hoax. And then he said, I forget the in-between thing, that it wasn't a hoax, got to be serious about it. And now he's talking about it's going to be a very painful 2 weeks. So we've reached a milestone. I'm going to bring the fellas in because I want them to jump right in. But isn't that ironic? It's just so much stuff to talk about. So we're going to start real soon today. Everybody's going to be involved in the conversation. So I can get my little device here, my little mouse device here to work so we can get Byron and Wayne. But it's unbelievable where we are at this point. A milestone of deaths, reported cases, and, you know, like they say, it couldn't have been avoided totally, but we sure could have been more prepared for it. Brother Byron Saunders, I'm opening your mic as well. Go ahead, Brother Byron, how are you doing this evening?
Eric and Wayne, I'm blessed and highly favored here down here in the cesspool of Ground Zero, where all things happening with POTUS 45 and all the stuff that emanates from that office, we need to flush the cesspool really, really bad. And I don't know about the rest of the country. When I see him on TV every evening now, 5:30, I guess that's their time of conversing with us, is that the optics are pitiful because he's not leading. You see, what we need right now is it doesn't matter who's in the office. It does. But at this moment in the world, when the world needs a leader and a spoken person who comes from the world's most powerful country, there is an absence and a void of leadership. And it's very obvious because we're still behind the eight ball trying to get out from underneath, being behind the scour of the virus itself, and it's still ahead of us. We have yet to catch up to where it is at its apex because it's still spreading like, oh, my God, it's spreading like wildfire, okay? So let's just be honest what's really going on here. And unfortunately, you know, the global community is also suffering, and it really points up a void of leadership with those right-wing leaders who voted and opted for austerity programming, going nationalist, if you recognize each and every country that are engaged in a very bad viral virus right now, those companies, those could go mostly for an austere programming of not spending money on social programming, but beefing up their military and the confrontations that kept things going. Well, now this virus has flipped the switch on everything, and everything has to be focused on that. And do you know from last week's show to this week's show, we were talking about, oh, maybe a couple thousand, and now the projection is 240,000 Americans will be infected, and we're just now getting that information. So we're in for quite a ride here, Eric and Wayne, and I'm New York is quite a situation unto itself.
Yeah, well, let's bring in Wayne, because he's right in the thick of it over there in the city in New York. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman, give us your take on things.
Hey, gentlemen, good evening, and I have to agree. I can't call New York a cesspool, but it's like it's just shameful. We're like a huge landscape of a burial ground, a cemetery. I mean, it's just unfathomable to think, as great a nation as we are, the one nation that could come up with a $2 billion stimulus package to jumpstart the economy again after this nonsense that we've gone through that could have been avoided to a certain extent. Even if it were to have happened, the impact did not have to be as great as it is now. And to hear this man play games before the press yesterday saying that his distraction was the fact that he was going through an impeachment process, all these excuses as to why he didn't come out and he was trying to save the country from the pain of knowing what was going on early on, it just shows how sophomoric and imbecilic this God, thank God we could say these things. Thank God it's not, I know he wants an authoritarian state, but the bottom line is it is what it is, and it's unfortunate that so many lives had to go because of somebody's one ignorance, and that's it. You know, I just don't know where to begin. There's so many facets to the story. We're still in the midst of it, and there's no telling when it would end. That's the thing, you know. There's no semblance of any kind of leadership coming from the federal level, you know. He'll start one thing, and then he'll do something else, and then he's got the nerve to play games. It's like a personality contest. You think he's on a campaign trail. If he doesn't get along with this person as governor, you know, then he's right away attacking them, and God forbid if they're the opposite sex, you know, he's got something, you know, trifling to say about that. You know, America should not have someone in that powerful position doing such stupidity. Such sophomoric behavior at after 200 years as a country. I mean, it does not add up, and I just hope we survive this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you said something interesting, Wayne. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. And I think that there are several things at play, several things that are converging here at this point in history. And this is obviously one of those. Once in a lifetime, once in a century, twice, and, you know, these are those moments in history that will be read about long after we're gone, and similar moments we've read about that came before us. And so it requires that we take a bigger take back and take a larger picture and with a broader perspective to see why those things that don't make sense, why don't they make sense? And to me, I've been saying this, as you guys know, and I've been just toying around, and it's the actor and the movie person and the creative person in me, but we've seen this movie before, haven't we? And unfortunately, it was a movie when we saw it, and there's actual movies,
yeah.
Contagion, that you know, the movie Contagion people have been referring to that actually talk about this exact scenario, and if you've been paying attention to the latest news clips, Bill Gates talked about the pandemic and a coming pandemic situation 5 years ago. And I saw one of those TED Talks he did about a year ago. And so it's been floating around for a minute. So we have on one hand a guy who is kind of a perfect tool in terms of even more perfect than, I guess, a George Bush would be. And because and he's even more harder to control because he's a wild card, but he still can be used as a tool by those that choose to use him. You know, and I'm talking about the Republicans that decided eventually to get in bed with him and ride it out as far as they can. Obviously, his unpredictable nature and his despicable nature of not being trustworthy, even among thieves and murderers, where, you know, everybody's got to keep their hand on their sidearm at all times because they don't know which one in the room of them is going to turn around and shoot the other. That's the drawback for the Republicans and all the people that support him. You know, they'll be down with him until it's not to their advantage anymore. But he serves a couple of their purposes, right? The racism, the white supremacy, the fight for control of this country now, again, trying to refigure, reconstruct the financial system and reconstruct what's going on in our country. And so using the racism and the finances and all that and having a cat like Trump who doesn't care to blow up the system a little bit just as much. He might blow up a little bit and get some on everybody else that it's not supposed to be got on, but they could work with that, you know. And so it makes me wonder what he's talking about to the average person and telling us one thing and why that's not happening. So clearly by your actions and not your words, it must mean that it's intentional, that you must really mean to do this if we really start to connect the dots like they do in those murder mystery movies, the characters, right? This must be your intention. If you don't use the Defense Production Act, I think is the name of the act, or if you don't open those stockpiles that you have of medical supplies to help save Michigan and New York and the hardest hit areas, which also happen to be areas that are blue, also happen to be areas that are minority and brown. So if certain things work out the way that they want them to work out, it serves several purposes for them, doesn't it? We get back our country that was tilting to be black and brown in another 20 years. We're able to win those votes and thin out the competition of our rivals in the other party, meaning most of the Democrats hopefully will die off before it spreads across the country and reaches all our red states. And also, it also kind of thins the herd to a certain degree in terms of population. Get rid of them, get rid of the weakest among us, so the strongest will survive and we can remake this country and get it back on track towards where the dreams that we had for it. So when we stand back and look at it, we know that this is intentional because there's no way that the man could get on and you have the governors are competing against themselves and FEMA. So if the company that they have to compete against, that means somebody must be making money over there, right? If he's not telling them, I'm going to use the Defense Production Act or whatever act, federalize you guys are going to make this deal directly with the federal government, we'll pay your price, distribute it to everybody. If he's not telling them that, that must mean he has some interest in that. Or maybe that CEO and those board of directors are supporters of his. Nothing is not intentional. And I'm going to go to the historian to back me up on this because I know you know what I'm talking about, Brian, and you made precedent and pointed out precedent for this, sir. So please.
The idea and the concept of it going awry is some of it is based in the perversions of capitalism. And we're going to have to have this open conversation about the exploitation that capitalism continues to persist in, which is cheap labor and a way of floating its money back into the system at a higher cost so that their profits are based on two things, the cheap labor and a sucker for buying the high end of the price because they're American companies. So we got to buy American. No. Problem is that so much of the traffic now in the supply chain is made in China because that's where they're hiring the cheap labor and it has to go out there. Imagine this. You buy a pack of chicken. Chicken is raised in Georgia. Georgia kills the chickens and then sends them to China, and then China sends them back to us in a package where we hope that's chicken. Okay? So who's to say But that's the chain of that is the food chain, the way it's working right now in this country. Did you hear what I said? From Georgia to China, back to Georgia to sell some chicken, in which the chicken farms down there were hiring mostly African-American and poor people to work in those chicken places. You wouldn't want to know what goes on in a chicken farm place, okay?
Well,
imagine
I hope
coming
have some
home like chicken every day. Yeah, so you know, this is what I'm talking about. Yeah, so basically, now you've got taken advantage of a population, as Wayne had eloquently pointed out. The middle class and the lower class are the ones who get dumped on all the time. Now, this stimulus package is not going to go much to people who really, really need it. I mean, gentlemen, if your income is at $150,000 a year and you're going to get $2,500 plus whatever for your children, did you really earn that $2,500? Because basically you're going to be able to spend it better than the poor person who gets, what, $1,200, maybe gets $1,200. When I tell you that 3 out of every 5 employees in the country are minimum wage employees. This is the impact of how they will be able to steal the money and give crumbs to the people who really need it the most. Giving $1 billion corporation who paid no taxes makes no sense for them to get any money.
I happen to agree with you. If I may just interject for a minute, the only thing that I understand the perception of a conspiracy theory, and there's a lot of evidence and fodder out there to say yes, this was all intentional. But this thing is so insidious. It just affects, you know, the virus
it's almost unbelievable, huh?
I'm sorry.
I said it's so insidious. It's almost unbelievable, huh?
Yeah, it is. And the thing is,
and that's what they want you to believe, bro.
And in fact, unless there's an elixir out there, you know, because going back to the whole stimulus package, it's crap. What am I going to do with $1,200? That can't get me through a month in terms of living in a city like New York, and it's probably worse yet in Washington. You know.
Yeah, everybody knows that it's no money. Everybody knows that,
yeah.
And the fix is in. I mean, those are very basic conversations to have. I mean, that's why I've talked about. I mean, we're not really talking about a conspiracy theory as so much as to that's just their way of life and what they believe in, right? Just like they've been trying to dismantle Social Security for a year. That's been a Republican thing.
Right.
That's why they've been trying to that's what their way, what their belief system is that, you know, let people swing out there, really, although they call it, the phrase they use is something compassionate, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but there really is, one phrase you could say, leave people swinging by their, you know what. You know, so, I mean, it all depends on your value system. I mean, if your value system is one that has been basically supremacy for a particular type of people, then everything else that, you know, the foundation to build to support all that is going to be based upon that. So the philosophy that they believe in is not going to be one that helps the majority of the people that are the individuals that they've oppressed for so long. They're just doing it in a different way, right? I mean, so to say it's a conspiracy, not really a conspiracy, it's just a way of life that they look at, you know, like Jim Crow was a way of life. So now, you know, things were getting a little bit too out of control, and I think really the bigger issues is like the derangement syndrome that they had, that people have with Barack, or with a black man getting elected, because it kind of is almost, you know, you spoke about Jim Jones and the occult like, but it is fanatical in people's devotion to this, to Donald Trump. It almost is fanatical because here people are, their hatred and their devotion to even believing him and putting themselves in jeopardy to follow this way of life. You know, we talked about it a little bit, I guess last week, or I was talking about it with a friend.
Yeah,
you know, they believe in a way of life that they're willing to lay down their life for, just, you know, civil war. You know, even the cats are
well,
slaves.
Someone in Texas had mentioned that last week, or one of the, I think he was on with Glenn Beck or Hannity, talking about, yeah, I'm willing to make the sacrifice, but this is a lot of garbage. When you see how the, you know, at least if I drank some Kool-Aid, I know within 10 seconds if it was some, you know, poisonous substance in there, I'm gone. But this is a horrific way of going. And again, there's no, it's colorblind. Anybody, all these people who've gone to come to New York to earn their chops in practicing medicine, and they're largely people who are white, and
mm-hmm.
they're exposed on a regular basis to what is going
right.
on here. They, you know, they're not being protected the way they should be, and I just think it's shameful that he'll sit up there and talk about some shipment that's sitting in Edison, New Jersey, without even doing the follow-through to find out why the expletive is sitting out there, you know, and what it would take if you had deployed the troops to move it to New York. You know, it'd be one thing. But it's, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's almost like as if he is willing to blow up the world because he knows it's not going his way. You know, that's what
that's
it
exactly
seems like.
Not the only
maniacal behavior
Right, right. That's
he's
their,
not
that's
the only
mantra.
One
they're willing
that
to,
wants to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because
exactly.
those gentlemen,
that's
here's an economy question for you, okay? The economy, as they say, was booming along. But how of a dollar of 100 pennies, how much do you think goes towards the military?
Right, we know that. We've talked about that already.
Because
that,
this
the
is going to be about dollars
that's,
and cents. This
the real point is it is about dollars and cents, about the wealth, the 1%. So if you're part of 1% and you have something that's going on, a catastrophe, what are our odds? How many people? What was acceptable? Let me finish this. What was acceptable to him was 100,000 to 240,000. That was acceptable to him, and acceptable collateral damage, because they have a certain amount of collateral damage clearly that they're willing to accept to achieve their objectives. Doesn't make a difference if they murder some of their own, because the ones at the lower end of the social economic ladder aren't really their own. You know, that's where the classism and the wealthism comes in. But also, too, when they feel they're part of the 1%, they're the richest in the world, so they feel that they're further removed from it, the furthest removed from it. If they say certain, like 80% or however what percent is going to kill, well, if we're in the top 1%, the likelihood that it actually reaches us, this is the way they think, that it actually reaches us is going to be so small, then, yeah, we'll take that chance. You know, it ain't going to hit us. But lo and behold, boom. That's not how it works out. I'm sorry, you're going to finish what you're saying out there. When you guys, Byron, or if you had your major point,
what I was just going to state was, considering the conversation, and it's always about for this president, as it is with this administration and the GOP, is I would say follow the money, because at the point at which the money that is being allocated, and I think what you're going to find is that he has been shifting some of the money from the defense program to build his wall. Remember back in several months ago that he was moving money out of certain accounts.
Right.
But I'm just trying to see, because at the point at which, reason why I was just going to go back to the slice of the pie, because if the slice of the pie is only giving you 1% for food and agriculture out of a dollar, 1% is one penny. You're giving 57% to 67% of a dollar to your military. So when ultimately they want to cut the budget for social programming, because this is where social programming needs money right now. Does the military really need money? This fool is talking about bombing.
And that's been the case. That's been their mantra. But you're talking about their philosophy, which has been the philosophy for the last 50, 60 years. That's the only point I'm making is that's what they've been doing. That's their main shit. Now, if we could point to where other money besides that that automatic, because that we know that that line item for the military has been built in there since Nixon or whoever them guys were. They've always had that line item in there. But the rest of that, when you said the what 57 or whatever the percentage going to the military, it's the rest of that other 48 or 30 some odd percent, right? That we need to really be wondering where it's going, right? Is it being
I know where it's going. I can tell you contracts. I can tell you by percentages.
There you go.
I can give it to you. 6% goes to education, and that just got cut. Now, this, mind you, these figures are 2015 to 2017. So, I mean, they've gone up, but 6% to education, 6% for government, 6% for veterans benefits, 5% for housing and community, 5% for health, international affairs, 3%, energy and environment, 3%, science, 3%, transportation, 3%, labor, 2%, and food and agriculture, 1%. And then the rest of it goes to the military. That's over 60% of every tax dollar. Now, why is it that we having to crunch on these benefits programs when if the military got all the money, shouldn't they be the ones providing all of the support? I mean, that's where the money is going. You can only take
want a strong military. We want, but the deal
is that
it shouldn't be a preponderance of all that money going in that direction. Our infrastructures, all these cities and towns that we take hours to get to by car, you know, do something with mass transit. Replenish. Why are we manufacturing things for the healthcare system in this country and other places? And I'm not saying that we should not have a global economy, but the bottom line is that we have to get back to doing things that are going to work in the interest of this democracy without it looking like as if we're being protectionist people, that we're not you know, willing to share. Because America is about sharing, you know. There's a reason why my parents came to this country. It's the reason why a lot of our ancestors came here, other than those who unfortunately were transported during the Middle Passage. But the bottom line is the concept of having a democracy where everybody has an equal footing and they're sharing. I just think
that's the thing that brings.
No, I was just going to say, if that were to be carried out properly, everybody would have a fair shake. You know,
we talked about that already. Been there, done that. If the queen had, you know what, she'd be a who. So, but I mean, the reality, what really is going down is that, I mean, the thing.
But think about it.
You could say, it's something to think about. But here's my point. And I kind of got into this with my dad a little bit about talking about the Democratic Party, how things need to shake up. And we were just gone on some other issues a little bit more locally. But it brought me to the broader issue of what we all kind of believe, what the papers say, but we don't ever look up off the paper and look what's going on around us. Because the hell with what the papers say, what is, and if everybody did it, yeah, that's a great tagline. Rights for everybody or equal rights to everybody. That's a real great tagline to get you walking the door. But what happens when your ass walk in the door and it's not really like that? Then you really got to deal with the reality of the room or the environment that you're in. And my point is, that's all well and wonderful, but until that happens, I'm going to keep both eyes open with guns on everybody in the room till I find out what's happening. And that's the mentality that we have to take as it pertains to our ethnic group, because we are always the one who catch the most hell, right? So that being the case, that we gotta see that and say, that's all great, well and good, what you saying on that paper, but I'm seeing what you're doing, so I'm going to have to play the game how I see you playing the game, because we up here in the boxing ring and there's no low blows, and you keep doing combinations below the belt and knock them up, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to have to get down to where we get down until we can right the ship a little bit. So therefore, then that means we need to design our attack plan or our response plan accordingly time dictates
agenda.
I think the
response needs to be of a political nature, because you have 328 million Americans in this country.
Exactly.
13.5% black, 18% mm-hmm. Latino, 60% white. Majority rules to a certain extent, but in that 60% of white folks, there are progressives who understand the pain and suffering that people of color in this country are going through, because they realize that it ain't about what they look like. At the end of the day, it's who's controlling the purse strings. And,
right.
and that's
well,
basically what's going
people,
on there. And,
yeah,
and the deal is this Republican, this Republican Party, with all due respect, ain't the Republican Party that your mom, your dad, and what little I knew coming up as a kid knew, because it's like they lost their marbles. They don't give a damn about anyone.
But maybe they were.
Other than
who knows? Maybe they
agenda.
Were. That's what I'm saying. Let's forget. Maybe they were. Maybe they just never showed us who they were. Because I heard some stuff about FDR that he might not have been the cat we thought he was, right? You know, so maybe they were really those people. We don't know. We just know what the log line said on the promo package. So I'm saying is like,
yeah.
Let's dig a little bit deeper. It's like my argument about Bernie. What he's talking about, yeah, that's all well and good what Bernie Sanders is talking about on paper, but where have you put it into practicality?
Exactly.
Because we're in the middle. If that's the case, then go out there and talk to your people that got the same hue as you. You know, but I understand they don't want to see you. But that's the thing. If we're gonna talk about all them other folks and the people that have been down with us from the European perspective, they've been down from Jump Street. So the ones that are really down, we don't have to worry about them. It's not convincing them. It's that they go out when they can, which is what many of them do, and try to do the converting of their other ones. But also in that. That's one front we're fighting this war on, our war against this oppression, right? On the other hand, those of us that are of the minority group or the groups of color need to really ramp it up, get everybody to see, like society now is trying to get everybody to see and rally around the notion of staying, you know, practicing the social distancing. This is really going to have to be a community effort. Everybody's going to
mm-hmm.
have to really do what they have to do. We
shelter
need to do that
place.
Within our communities. We need to do
yeah.
that with our communities and say, look, y'all, this is where we need to vote. And cats need to talk to, like I'm talking to friends and start talking about Bernie Sanders. No, we need to win. We need to win this election. Remember, the goal of this mission is to win, not to get sidetracked and talk about, well, yeah, you know, we don't have those rights and Bernie's for worker rights. Great. But then it diverges, because then you have to deal with the issue of race. And when the race issue comes in, that's where Bernie's things don't quite turn out to be as effective.
Add up.
Right?
I'm so,
so
proud of
then
Whoopi Goldberg today. Put him in his place. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, just in general, that whole, like I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, every time we talk about it, that perspective of, you know, people have to understand, this is what it is. This is how the game is played. So play the game that's dealt to you. Then when you get in there, then you can flip it. That's part of the thing, but
mm-hmm.
you don't try to talk about it from the end, because all they're going to do is rally the troops and bring up the drawbridge wall and shoot at you from the top of the castle. You know, and until you get enough cats that can storm that castle, that's one thing. But if you could get somebody inside the castle, work from the inside, and eventually let that drawbridge down, then you can really make some stuff happen. So we need to see it like that for what it is. And I guess what I'm promoting is that our politics, from the perspective of our people, be more transactional, be more directly transactional, let me say.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be some in there that say, oh, it should be about the integrity of the man and the person. It shouldn't be that we should have a litmus test in terms of they must fit this. Yes, for us, we do have a litmus test, just like everybody else. Where do you stand on this issue, and that? And how is it going to affect black people? If none of you can say that, then fine. Then we'll choose accordingly from that point on. Then it becomes, mm-hmm. Okay, if none of them have addressed that, then which one of them is closer to our values and gets us closer to where we need to get? And when you look at that, then I'm going to say, well, here's the guy that was down with the black president. He seemed to be pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the whole notion that it's what we want to pay attention to, that document, that precious Declaration of Independence document we all refer to. But now none of these cats out here they're not paying attention to that. They want to change it. When they don't like something, they try to amend it. If they can't amend it, they just ignore it. So all I'm saying is, let's not be as tied to that stuff as they say, and let's watch what they do and play how they play the game.
Well, I agree. I mean, the deal is, but look what happened. We tried to do the right thing, and again, we are a system of checks and balances in this country. And the bottom line is that once they get in a position of power and they tweak things in such a way that's going to basically uphold their agenda, you know, you're absolutely right. From what I'm gathering, what you're saying is that we need to check them on that, but make sure that once the check is made, that there is some sort of reaction or at least some sort of balance in terms of how to handle, you know, what comes out of it. I mean, you just can't sit there and complain. I mean, I'm amazed at what he's gotten away with. He got away with,
exactly,
with the whole Russian situation. He's gotten away with impeachment. You know, I as far as I'm concerned, all these Republican senators who supported him, they all need to feel the fire of what COVID-19 should be about. I mean, God forgive me for saying it, but the bottom line is that the reason why we're in the shape that we're in now, it's because of that. It's only now that they've come out in an agreement with this, they see the volatility that this horrific virus has caused and what it's going to do on the precipice of wrecking the economy, whether they knew something or not, that they're going to go along with the Democrats. Let's prop things up the way it should be. But again, they're trying to put their stuff in there that's going to suit them. And I have to agree with Byron. I think not everybody should be getting paid the way they do. I think the bottom tier that's always being screwed, I'm glad to hear that they're going to step up the unemployment, you know, because I think that's going to be an issue. And then you got people out here who are basically trying to take advantage of the system also. There are people who are going to play the game and say, oh, you know, I'm worthy of this, and you know full well that they haven't been. There's got to be some accountability for what is going on. That's the problem. I tell everybody that. The deal is, if you think you're worthy, give me some accountability as to why this is going on. And it should be a level playing field. It bothers me, this, you know, as desperate as New York is for medical help and places to put people to anesthetize this war that's going on, Jerry Falwell and his organization put up medical tents in Central Park. And you know, they're about to bring patients there and doctors, I guess, believe, affiliated with his organization. And he's one of the biggest racists going in Central Park, talking all that slack that they've done
this
for years. Jerry Falwell, Liberty University.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's supporting that. And I'm sorry that de Blasio would allow that to happen, but I guess the situation is so desperate. When you call around the country for help, you don't give a damn, you know, where the help is coming from. Help me, please.
Are you saying
I'm
that doctors are coming from Falwell University? That's your issue, that doctors are coming from
Jerry
Falwell University?
Yes, son.
Well, I mean,
you know.
Yeah, but where he's sending them from his school, right? I mean, people that work for him, or he's, yeah. I mean,
right.
I wouldn't have a, I mean, you know, it's ironic, but what are you going to do? I mean, they need help, so
but,
you can't really,
you know,
get that.
It,
I mean,
it's like a friend of mine was telling me, because she lives not far from there, that, you know, they got a separate stand on the outskirts where they're telling people, you know, about what it is that they're doing and what they're politically about. And yeah, all well and good. Yes, all right? You wanted to have a place in which to set up a pavilion of some kind, that some kind of annex Mount Sinai Hospital, which reminds me, and again, I don't mean to be blown off steam about what goes on here in New York, but I'm so glad Governor Cuomo came out and talked about the medical system. I don't know if you all had a chance to see that in D.C. or even where you are in Jersey. You know, the deal is that we could probably solve a lot of the problems that are going on in this country if there wasn't such an economic divide between the private hospitals and the public hospitals. All those
right.
people who are lying in body bags in that freezer that they have out there at in East Elmhurst, Queens, that's all part of the public hospital system, because those were the places that poor people had to go into and they could get help. They couldn't walk into Mount Sinai or NYU Langone or Northwell or one of these places because they couldn't get the coverage. And I just think, look what's going on here now. Look, you know, it just saddens me. And again, it goes back to class, race, and economics.
Right, right. Byron, we still have... Go ahead, Byron.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I worked with the Health and Hospitals Corporation. I worked out of the vice president's office down on Lafayette Street, and I can tell you that the industry
And you have
itself,
to explain, that's the city Health and Hospitals Corporation.
That's the city's Health and Hospitals Corporation, and they run $1 billion bidding annually. Now, it's publicly supported. It doesn't turn anybody away. Doesn't ask you for your papers. And I can tell you about East Elmhurst Hospital. I knew some of the doctors and the people there, working there from the outsiders community. Very heavy Salvadorian, Hispanic-speaking community that you know. And in Elmhurst it's a very busy community. And it demands and deserves even better, but they're overwhelmed. You can see that what's going on. And it is a disparity because this is the way our system has taken advantage of those who do not have. And it is such that it's so out of control that it becomes not, you can't even hide it anymore. Now that we have a very serious medical pandemic event going on, all hands have to be on deck, and we're seeing the failure of deregulation, the failure of a government to just coordinate who needs what during a crisis. And this is what all Cuomo is saying. All we need to know is make sure that we got access to them, then you can facilitate who gets how much. And if we don't have enough, or we'll get more if we need to send it to someplace else, we send it. But it's like it's
exactly.
just common sense leadership. And that's what's missing throughout this entire episode, is that the common sense leadership is devoid because you have incompetence from the top all the way up to the Senate. It's incompetence multiplying itself because it's based in greed. It's based on the money. Who's going to get what out of this? $2 trillion, and that's not even enough, because when that unemployment runs out, which is going to spike again this coming week, the figures will be out tomorrow, and you're going to see another spike. It went up to 3.8 million in over a month worth of time. My God, they have no idea where this is going to end.
Yeah.
And now they're projecting
another
30 days because the jackass at the White House, who can't make up his mind because he's so worried about his reelection, which I'm telling you guys, this is an impeachable offense. This is
Schiff is talking about that now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's
talking about
reopening the series. But it's beyond that now because at this point, people are losing
their
lives.
That's not going to happen. What we realistically need to focus on is getting people to really, you know, and this is where the Democrats, I was talking about this with a buddy of mine yesterday. He said it's like a home run now for the Democrats. I'm like, yeah, we could take advantage, you know, of making these points. And this is why, you know, you guys have heard me talk about this before. We have no PR. We act like we don't want to blow our horn.
Yeah.
We don't want to take advantage. There should be, as I said before, a committee, a PAC committee or somebody that is just focused on changing the narrative. Every time somebody gets off narrative, like on their side, they work to change the narrative and make sure people are back on. Every time as people are talking misleading, false information, why didn't he get there? No. Lies intentionally. These are actions are intentional. And so if the Democrats would have people devoted a committee, PAC devoted to, like this new ad that came out that Trump is trying to sue them about taking off the air, those type of hard-hitting things. To show
yeah.
this man's, you know, and to make sure, you know, repetition, that's how we have to spoon feed the general public and let them know that this is the case and draw the direct line. Those who will have an ear to listen are those who are even in his camp but not fully for him but be a part of that party, who will listen to how this irresponsibility, how this philosophy that they have away from social programs and providing a safety net and all these things that government is supposed to be about, as Mike Barnicle was saying this morning, you know, that's what the government does to make sure that the grid is running correctly, to make sure that
mm-hmm.
everybody has lights. You know, somebody got to keep all this shit going on and functioning, and that's where government
yeah.
comes in. So, you know, people have to be able to understand and see that line to where it affects them on their kitchen table. And there's no better example other than this, a life and death situation, how his, you know, inaction is also a choice too. If you choose to be inactive about something, you're making a choice. The action you're
right.
taking is to decide not to take any action, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's decided, not to take any action because what, it wasn't important enough for you? And this is where the Trump, his delusion, his narcissistic delusion comes in, which becomes dangerous for people because, say, he doesn't want to talk to the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, because they're not thankful and they're not appreciative enough. So I'm going to get Pence on the phone to deal with her. You know, those type of issues, those type of personality traits and character clues tell you that this is an individual whose inflated opinion and narcissistic opinion could be, you know, he's like one of those evil villains in a Bond movie. I mean, their inflated ego is so much where they're going to blow everything up, you know? Everything's
yeah.
going to be blown
and
up.
And
that's what one of the staff members said, one of the outgoing people said, everything's going to blow up because he's that
yeah.
type of individual. And they're trying to manage that. They're trying to ride that rocket, that Bronco, bucking Bronco, that is Trump, because they're getting closer to their thing. We've been after Social Security for 50 years. We've been after that, no health care for them. You know, even now, in the middle of this, as he's refusing to renew the Obama insurance packages in some areas, right? Even now that you have still about 12, 15 governors who refuse to put a stay-at-home order in place in their states because they're Trump supporters, like the governor of Mississippi, right? Overriding
uh-huh.
the orders, overrided the municipal orders of some of the municipalities to try and save their citizens. This guy overrided it to make them more vulnerable. Florida just today decided, but before
yeah, just,
that, you're making your population more vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm talking about the almost cult-like, you know, cult-like status that they are, that's going on in their minds. Like, you guys are so sick and so deranged, and you
yeah.
hate the possibility of what might happen, that you would do this devastation? Really? I mean,
and
it goes to
care.
The point of being hypnotized. You're not seeing the world mm-hmm. around you. All you're willing to see and all you're willing to allow yourself, when shit stuff is falling down, burning around you, and still they refuse.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing about it. It's like when you say, "Oh, we're dealing with some real off the wall people," because their sole objective is to make sure that we suffer and to kill us. And I'm speaking metaphorically, obviously, you know. Although I don't know, in some cases it might be literally, but their sole purpose is to make sure that we don't reach our goal. And they don't mind if they don't never reach theirs, just as long as they keep us from reaching ours. Just like, you know, the lieutenant governor of Texas said, he's willing to die if it means keeping the American way of life and this economy going for me and, you know, whoever, you know.
Well, let him go, you know. I mean, it's,
right.
I
know,
think
well,
it's slowly
you,
changing. And I think people have, I think once they see enough of what's going on now in New York, particularly in Brooklyn
mm-hmm.
and in Queens and Manhattan, once that's taking place in Kansas, and I ain't talking about Kansas City or East St. Louis and places like that. Once it hits the rural areas of the country where they're already having problems trying to get adequate health care, Once they see these things go on, maybe they may get it then. Maybe it might be sobering enough for them to understand, you know. But it just saddens me that so many people have got to go just to make a point. This man, he should be carried out of office. They're, you know, if this went on in one of these third world countries where the military had the ultimate rule, his behind would have been out of there a long time ago. But, you know, it is what it is. So, and we got to come out and vote. We got to think of alternative methods in which to vote. We don't want anybody to turn around and mess with this vote this time going around.
Well, that's kind of, you know, my belief, that's part of the process too, right? To create this much havoc and chaos that, you know, we can't have the vote in November. Maybe we need to push it back because the nation is in such turmoil, you know?
Yeah,
but,
that's Giuliani.
You know, clearly, clearly they're willing to float that notion. Go ahead, Byron.
Yeah.
So, Eric, let me ask you question then. Is it a conspiracy or isn't it? Which side of the ledger sheet now do you have more assets to liabilities to your position? Because at the point at which it keeps adding up to the conspiracy, we may have to just stop calling it a conspiracy and just call it the coup d'etat that they've been trying to establish for quite some time. And in some cases it's working, in other cases it's out of control, so it's really not working. Chaos is based on chaos. Usually ends up being chaotic. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't put two wrongs to make it right. It's just not going to ever happen. And so they're wrong in what they've been doing. They're wrong in terms of their assessment of everything. And it's pointing up once again, as you started off, the lack of leadership, which is what we are desperate to hear, even if it's bad news leadership. At least Cuomo is presenting his case both personally and as a leader.
Yeah.
And that's the critical need for right now. It doesn't matter where it's coming from, but that's what we need.
Just information. But let me tell you something. It's the leadership. Yes, it's that you can look at Trump and tell it that's just if that were the only problem, there would be a lack of leadership. But I don't think it's a lack of leadership. I think it's leadership in a different direction. He's leading in a different direction. They have a different objective is my point. And one man's conspiracy is another man's way of life. So, you can call it what you want. Some people just believe some different things, and they don't look at it as a conspiracy. They look at it as like that's the natural order of things.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Getting things back to the natural order, and we're putting it back the way the Lord wanted us to be in charge, and we're putting it back to the natural order. And that's what some people, and as to the other point of, what was the other point you made? Because you said, is it a conspiracy or whatever?
Because you're making the case for it rather well. And I'm thinking, okay, how much more of it do we really need to hear?
I'm just saying, it's clearly his objective. Let me tell you something. Let me just make this point. If he were to come out during these briefings and stop being a jerk and stop trying to be argumentative with people, right, and just basically told his lie straight without ad-libbing on the script, without engaging people in a negative capacity, without saying we're going to have a beautiful cure and all that, if he just came out and gave them facts, whatever kind of made-up facts he was doing, like they were lying about the numbers, if he gave them straight and without all the stroking, his whatever that poll said, it would be even higher, and he would be looking at potentially getting reelected. But he can't. That's the whole thing about him. He can't not do it. He's his own worst enemy, and that goes back to your point about chaos creates chaos, and it doesn't. Nothing comes out of that. And once the stuff hits Idaho, where they have one hospital, and all that red state can't get that one ventilator they have because it's over downstate or wherever, that's when it blows up in their face, right? Because all that little pocket, you know, that little pocket right there, if you look at the map and saw all the states that weren't complying yet, it's all that little Midwestern, you know, upper part of the country, which is big-time red voting country. Once it starts hitting them because of the lack of leadership, so-called, that's when, you know, Byron's theory of chaos, creating chaos and just kept more chaos coming out is going to hit the fan for them, you know. And
well,
that's when the opportunity opens up for us.
I mean, it's embarrassing to be a citizen of the United States and to see your leadership in that position. But this is what we need to be reminded of daily, how sophomoric. I can't come up with enough adjectives to describe how stupid this guy is.
He always pivots back to the blame. So this today's blame game is that his he says the impeachment probably distracted him from fighting coronavirus.
I'm so glad he said that.
That's reported today, USA Today. I'm telling you what the news
I'm so glad he said it.
Yeah. Today. I heard about that. I heard he said that. Yep. Yeah. First Mitch said it. Then he picked up on it. You know, isn't it to be expected? I mean, it's par for the course, man. I mean, you know, the only thing surprises you is the creativity of the new. Because I don't know if it's a new low or we're just low. We're just as low as we can be. It's just a new creative way to come at it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, come on, man. For real? You're distracted from the, come on. Whatever. Okay. I mean, I'm almost to the point, I am to the point, actually, where I'm wondering why MSNBC and the actual real networks keep airing when he comes on to give his daily briefing. Once Fauci talks, it's over. I'm just waiting to hear Fauci talk, and I don't really care about anything that Trump or the royal ass-kisser, I call him something else, vice president do.
It's interesting you should mention that, Eric. Now, I was just going to say, it's interesting you should mention it because there is a petition going around asking the networks to drop that segment in the evening when he's on.
I heard that. And some did choose that. You know, because that would be the one thing that gets to him, right? As soon as he starts talking, the network stop TV coverage. You know? That's the one way to hit him. Because that's what he values. And just let him, because everything else we know is going to be lies. Why even pay attention to him? It's going to be lies, and he's going to infuriate you with how cavalier he is. And, you know, the other day the wind's blowing. He's talking about his hair blowing. It's in his real hair. Nobody wants to hear that, man. People are dying. Come on. Nobody's got time for this little idiotic banter that this guy has. People are losing their lives. People are losing their loved ones. I have a family member who lost a wife. I got another one who's on the honeymoon. You know? Yeah, I got another one who's on the ventilator. So nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear you give them the information straight and get off the stage. You know, because half people got an attitude with you anyway because you jacked it up, and now you're just rubbing it in. So, yeah, the networks, they could stop airing them. After Fauci talks, it's over with. Nobody wants to hear this guy, you know. Yeah. And that would be the biggest thing, the biggest blow to him. I bet you he'd be tweeting about all that. They stopped airing the president's press conference as he talks to the American people, blah, blah. You know, then he'll be talking about MSNBC not airing him. But any other time, he's dogging MSNBC and CNN out, right? But he loves their coverage.
Yeah, fake news. Yeah. Ridiculous.
You know, so we got about a minute, a little bit under 2 minutes left, gentlemen. And if you have any final thoughts, I was going to try to see if some people wanted to call up because I did text a couple of people that we were on the air tonight. But I'm sure that we've got some interested folks that want to hear what we have to talk about. But if you guys want to give any last thoughts before we jump off the air.
Well, I'll go ahead. I'm very enheartened to note that Black, Asian, and Hispanic House caucuses chairs united in no tolerance for coronavirus racism. That's a very significant impact that will have a really big statement about the upcoming elections. If this coalition can be formed now and move forward, it is the majority of the country with respect to its people of color, and I salute them.
All right. There it is, Brother Byron Saunders. We will talk to you again next week, Brother Byron.
Yes, sir.
All right. Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman, what you got to say about it?
Well, I hate to be redundant, but I am keeping hope alive, man. You know, this has got to come to an end, hopefully sooner than later. That's all I can say.
I feel you, brother. I'm right there with
all
you.
The best.
Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right.
All right. This has been the Kay Thompson Live Show. Oh, this has been Kay's son and friend. See, there it is. Mom always told me she would always, you know, want me to be on the radio so you could do this one day. Well, here I am doing it, Ma. I love you. This has been Kay's son and friends. Listen to us again next week. We'll probably be live at 8, but you can always catch us archived. Blog Talk Radio / Kay Thompson Live, Kay's son and friends. I'm Citizen Payne. I'm out.
We met before we see you take it. Oh, everyone holler the way they do my life. This ain't living. This ain't living. No, no, baby.